Couple of months ago, I was quitting my job and I was going to be unemployed for some time. So I decided that maybe I should participate on the art scene or something with this newfound free time I had. Then my cousin, who is a member of Koelse Art Collective, told me that he was organizing this week-long art symposium with Pixel Lake. So I decided to participate on it. This symposium, they were inviting artist from Circulatia, which is, how should I call it, their sister collective or something, from Ljubljana, Slovenia. The title for this event was Postmaker Camp. That concept was originally very foreign to me, but after talking with different artists and people that were participating in the camp, I slowly started to gain some kind of understanding what it really meant. These guys, these old guys, were fed up with the empty hype of 3D printing, the recent rise of popularity of hobbyist electronics, and the consumerism and shallowness associated with it. They felt threatened as an old electronic artists by younger people. I wanted to document this somehow, and I started to search for someone who could give me some perspective on this development. Pretty soon I noticed this fascinating character, constantly huddled over his robotic creations. So I asked if I could interview him, pick his brain a little bit, and it turned out he had quite a lot to say. Here we are in Vihti, a little bit over 1 month ago. Funny thing, back when we did this interview, I didn't remember your name.
My name is Borut Sauski.
Yes, Borut. I've had opportunity to Google it since that, but okay. During this week, I've seen you create some very interesting artworks. Like, one of them was this robot head, which at least it seemed like it reacted to the sounds, and sometimes I felt like it followed me around with its eyes. How would you yourself describe your own art?
My art? Live art, algorithmic principles, improvisation, abstract also.
Yeah, definitely very, very abstract indeed. But I noticed that you also made lots of electronic music or like ambient audio, and you make some field recordings. I saw you recording the birds in the lake. So do you consider yourself more as a musician or audio artist?
A musician, yeah, also. In fact, my status is a composer. Funny enough, no, because I'm not actually doing so much. It's not my life's wish to be a composer, né? Performer, yes, né? And I always liked music, but also technology. Né?
So something in between, like a multimedia artist? Or...
Yeah, we have a special name for it in Slovenia, which is called intermedia artist. It used to be interdisciplinary artist, but then it was kind of connected with media. It became also, sometimes it meant internet artist, but it's not, it's also incorporated inside, but it's not linked with the internet necessarily.
At what point you decided you are going to concentrate on your art?
It was, I think, 94. Before I was just working at the radio station, performing what is necessary for the format of whatever there is to be done. But then with one friend, we decided that we would try to launch another experimental studio. And this was then when, especially I tried to use all the technology, which at that time was still this magnetophone tape. To produce kind of loops, endless loops, and this kind of stuff. Also some concrete music approaches, also with tapes, like squashed tapes, and then taken through the magnetophone. And yeah, this was 94. And also using, for instance, transmitters, small transmitters, which are actually part of the big transmitter, but for some reason there was one extra, so we were bringing it around Ljubljana, for instance, to somebody's home, and he promised that he would play his music and have some DJing all through the night. And this was then transmitted to the big radio station.
Oh yeah, that sounds very nice, very interesting. So we are now in the early 90s. Where did the internet come and how did it change how you worked and how did you use it in your art projects?
I think it was 96 or 95, and then we started streaming and also meeting other people, artists who were also starting to deal with this media art. And at that time it was clear it was media art, not radio art as it was before, but something else, not so much different now.
Okay, cool. But let's go back for a while because it's so interesting. Nowadays, time before internet seems so it's hard to remember, hard to imagine. How did you even find other people? How did you handle the communications without internet? How did you find like-minded people to work in art projects, for example?
Before internet, there was a strange group of people, not group of people, but individuals who were running around, especially in the second half of the 80s, like couriers. From one active part, for instance, radio station, they traveled to another radio station and they told the news about them. And sometimes we connected them via telephone lines and exchange a little bit. Not so much of this. I think Ars Electronica at the beginning has been also using some of these types of connections.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Can you explain what is Ars Electronica?
Ars Electronica is a festival in Austria, which is quite famous, but at that time in the second half of the 80s, it was still experimental, but now it's a big fashion festival.
So you've been part of the media art scene for a very long time. How you feel about the current state of the field?
Yeah, now they're teaching media arts in universities, in academies. And not so many people who are outside of these academic circles, schools, I think are dealing with it, not so many as it was before. Before it was mostly these people who were from other areas who were interested to make it art platform. Now when it's taught, it's just one of the formats which they learn, and I don't think it's so much interesting or dynamic.
Can you tell me about the first big media art project you've made? How did you begin?
Yeah, the first project which I did was in 99 with some American friend. We combined our approaches, and that was called Sound Biotope. It was a microphony system which was combined with moving the microphones. And also listening to what this microphone is made, and then according to this moving. So it was a feedback system, kind of autopoietic, cybernetic system, which at that time, this was 99, it was through one theory, this autopoietic theory, it was defined as a system which is alive, ne? Which can see itself and then change according to what it gets and still be balanced. And of course, this was just a model. It was not, but in some ways, it was alive. Ne? If one jumped in that room, ne? The whole sound field moved.
Very interesting. I googled the autopoietic theory and I found out that it refers to a system capable of reproducing and maintaining itself. So, in theory, these devices were alive.
So, that was one nice project, but there were others also. This was nice also because shortly afterwards I did one text, which was called The Metaphor of Sound, something like this, or acoustic, the metaphors of acoustic space, I forgot already, which gave me quite a lot of thoughts, which then were developed in the next years.
Do you have some kind of dream project that you've always wanted to do?
No.
You always do what you...
I did what I dreamed of. Really,
like
I have no, I'm already a bit tired, you know.
Yeah.
Especially of the bureaucratic structures which with whom one has to work or not work.
So you do not have any kind of dream project you would like to do if you would have enough money to buy 1,000 microphones or something like this?
No.
Okay.
This is modernistic position.
Yeah.
I just need one or two microphones.
Yes, very modernistic position indeed. Okay. So technology, philosophy, sound. Is there other things that inspire you?
Working with other people, which was always my joy, no? And this is now Circulatio. Before that, it was still quite some. Also in parallel, working with the singer Bogdana Herman is also very nice.
So, who is the singer you're talking about?
Yeah, she's like 10, 12 years older than me. Old lady now, but still very energetic. She's basically folk singer, but of the type which in 60s they were academic. Né? They were going around the villages and collecting even music and then singing it. Né? But she worked also a lot with experimental musicians. Mm. And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So we worked together extremely well. Bogdana Heron, we try to enter the music field, which is, of course, it's closed because it's the history is so long, you cannot experiment anymore so much. You can take like kind of, how it's called, for instance, you can take a bit of Doors, and then transplant it in the modern way. Né? But this is kind of, again, communicating through memes, so memory objects.
Okay. Talking about memory, what can you tell me? How did you first time got interested in the music and audio and art?
In childhood, of course, huh? And later on, when I started to love the music, it was making a radio, for instance. Huh? And later on, when I had a radio and I was switching between the stations, huh, that was opening a new dimension for me. Huh? Oh, this is also, looks like it's not music, but it's also one can play with it.
The sound.
With the sound, yeah. And of course, all the time I was studying electronics, working at radio station, so I quickly began to do my electronics. So this was then 80s, 90s. Né? And the first contact with also all my projects, né, had to do with homemade electronics, custom-made electronics, which I did myself. And then also some people ask, could I make something for them? And that was also kind of then developing into sharing, let's say, sharing the information. Then came this 2006, 2007, where it seems that some people were interested in doing some electronics. This was still not Arduino time, or maybe I did get some Arduino. It was some other processor, but not so developed or popular. So it was analog, analog electronics. We were first making on some summer camp theremin, some schemat, not big theremin, but very small one, on a small piece of board. And one was still being used by one noise musician girl. Eh? And it's also interesting point that the girls started to come in with this trend. Eh? It was then becoming a trend somehow, not boys think or old men think, which they did on the balcony away from the wives. So it was kind of renovated, rejuvenated, and also with girls, né? Which it's important, it's different because, no, than before.
Okay. So, but until this point, everything still sounds pretty nice. Then something changed, right? Something happened. What was it?
Yeah, and then slowly the educational system started to pick on this, né? And it was quickly clear that us as independent workshop mentors, I couldn't find our small piece of economy there. Né?
So what do you personally feel was the lowest point?
So it was then the Maker Faire started. Né? All this, né? This is really then to train this staff. No? Of course, it was educational, so they never learned, did anything new. Experimentation is gone. It was just showing how to do this, how to do that, no? To the kids. Or
since becoming more mainstream, the culture around making things and electronics has definitely changed, but on a fundamental level, what do you consider to be the biggest difference?
It was research, no? Mm. The research time is gone somehow. No? There can still be some similar ideas or even wishful thinking, no? But a lot of it is gone. Maybe also the art itself is not the area as free or as sexy as it used to be. Yeah, then of course, if this is 2006, then of course we started to think, but is this now going on? Like you said, the people are not doing something new, but they're just copying something from internet. And there were like recipes, né, of what to do. It was not that cool, I think, to be a maker. No? On the other hand, né, all the industry from Europe is gone already. Né? We all get our small Arduinos from China, né, all these modules. So it was also time to think, né, regarding this post-maker concept, né, now, which Kölse introduced. Né.
So you are a maker, that's for sure, but you are a maker living in a post-maker culture. How do you feel, like, how do you position yourself in this situation?
It doesn't seem so easy to say that we are in this post-maker situation. We are still alive and kicking as makers. But if you say the trend of makers, we were never there. No? Post-maker, so maybe describes the situation where the interest is gone already from this situation for the normal people. And it may be because it has moved totally to educational institutions. And there is no freedom, I think. It's just curriculum.
Moi fantice Matrolsko vandrau, moi fantice, Matrolsko vandrau, moi fantice, Matrolsko vandrau.